right, so I want to welcome you once again to our series of sermons on shedding the weight, and we're going to be wrapping this series up by the end of the month. So today we're going to be talking about the topic of shedding the weight of bitterness. But before we get into that, I want to find out how you are doing on remembering the one verse out of the Bible that I've asked you to memorize, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let's say the words together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. All right, now go ahead and say those words to somebody that's close to you, in proximity. Okay, I'm seeing a lot less confusion on your faces. In fact, I'm seeing some people cheer that, yay, we got it, we figured it out. And we've got a couple more weeks, so I just want to continue to encourage you to memorize this verse. I don't know if you realize just how powerful and how important this verse is in Scripture. I mean, every Scripture is God-breathed, but this one just reminds us that there is a lot that is expected of a Christian. I want to talk about a new Christian in the Bible. His name is Simon the Sorcerer, or the Greek word is magus, Simon the Magician. He lived in Samaria. You can find his story in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. But Samaria was a land that once was Jewish, but now, because of conquering that happened years and years and years earlier, now most of the people in that area are half-breeds. They're not full-blooded Jews. They are half-Jewish and half-Assyrian. But Simon was practicing a career, if you will, that was despised. It was actually not acceptable by God in the Old Testament. He was known as a sorcerer. He was known for his magic, his divinations, his fortune-telling, his spell castings. People would flock to him because his prognostications were often very accurate. In fact, they even had a nickname for him. The Bible says his nickname was the Great Power. Wow, that's pretty incredible. The Great Power. Though he commanded crowds of followers and presumably had the admiration of many people because of the things that he could do, things had begun to change for Simon, because there was a new person that was in that area. His name was Philip. I don't know if this is a good picture of him. I wasn't there to take the picture, but Philip was a man who was sent to that area as an evangelist. And he started preaching and challenging people to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and he was preaching a message about the kingdom of God, and Simon heard that people were believing in that message. And so he investigated it, and wouldn't you know it, but he accepted the message of Jesus Christ, and he believed. The Bible says that he was willing to give up everything, because that's what you do as a believer. And this would be extremely significant, because if he was making his livelihood as a magician, and now suddenly he's not doing that anymore, what are you going to do for money? What are you going to do for your livelihood? He was compelled, though, at the cost of his own reputation, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Scripture says that he believed and he was immersed. He was baptized. It's interesting to me how many times those two things are combined in Scriptures. Believing and baptism, it just seems to happen over and over and over again and again in the Bible. Almost as though you can't have one without the other. But Simon felt compelled to be a believer, and he gave up a lot to do that. But something was missing now. I mean, he had all kinds of black magic power because that's what he was known for, but now all of a sudden something was missing. There didn't seem to be any power. Well, later, as time went on in Scripture, it doesn't tell us how long, but the church in Jerusalem heard about all of the converts that were coming to Christ in that land of Samaria, so they sent Peter and John, and Peter and John were to go there, and they were to lay their hands on all of these new believers in Samaria. The Bible says the reason for that was because they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so they needed to have Peter and John come and lay their hands on them so that they could receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that that's an interesting phenomenon. Because most of the time, we believe that as soon as you're immersed into Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And yet, here is a prime example of the Holy Spirit not being given to people when they are baptized, but being given to people at a later date. I think that's significant because we're not the ones that are in charge of who gets the Holy Spirit and when. That's all completely up to God. But that's another sermon. Okay? So Simon Peter and John, they go to Samaria, and this is amazing to Simon the sorcerer because he is now seeing a power that is being received by these people through the laying on of hands of Peter and John, and he wants that power. Remember, they've already called him. He used to have a nickname called the Great Power, but now he's seeing a different kind of a power, a holy power, a power that is not connected to the black magic arts. And so he approaches Peter and John and offers to buy the ability to lay his hands on others so that they could receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But Scripture leaves out an awful lot of details. We don't know what his real motive was. We don't know what his real intent was. We do have an interesting dialogue, though, between Peter and Simon the sorcerer, because Peter just looks at Simon the sorcerer and he says, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Something is going on. In fact, Peter literally says, your money perish with you. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Ouch. Full of bitterness? Wasn't he a believer? Hadn't he been immersed? Yes. But still full of bitterness and sin? How could Peter have possibly known that? Simon had believed. He was a believer. It wasn't that he didn't believe. It wasn't that he hadn't been baptized, because he was. Yet Peter knew that there was something going on in Simon where he had not yet fully given his heart to Jesus Christ. Did you realize that that's possible? You can be a believer, you can be an immersed believer, and you can still not have given your heart to God. It happened in the Bible, and I'm sure that it's probably still happening in our lives today. You see, Peter knew that Simon, even though he looked good on the outside, there was a root of bitterness that was festering within his heart. Where that bitterness came from, we are not given any clues. We can only surmise and speculate, but Simon heard the truth, and he responded to Peter. Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Do you hear the humility? I think this is the moment where Simon the sorcerer was finally broken before the Lord, where he realized that even though you do all the right things, even though you say the right things, even though you go through the watery grave of baptism, if you have not given your heart completely to the Lord, it doesn't mean anything. You are still filled with, and in Simon's case, bitterness and sin. You see, this story is a wonderful example of a convert striving to be a disciple of Jesus, but the weight of bitterness is just hurting his journey to faith. The weight that we carry along, if we are carrying bitterness, affects us too. We might not be sorcerers or magicians, or we might not be that kind of a person who grasps for the black arts, but I think we can all identify with trying to run the race of faith while carrying a load of bitterness with us. Because you see, hurt does lead to bitterness, and bitterness leads to anger. Travel too far that road, you're going to get lost. The Greek word for bitterness is really kind of interesting. It is often used metaphorically. It's used in this particular situation metaphorically of Simon, who harbored a root of extreme bitterness. But the Greek word literally means to wound by piercing. Okay? It was a picture word. You know, you've got a sharp stick, you've got a knife, you've got a sword, you've got a spear, you've got a javelin, you've got something with a sharp end, and you are piercing. And life provides us with ample opportunities and ample experiences to have our heart wounded. I don't even have to ask you if you have ever been wounded in your heart, because I know you have. We all have. People have continually disappointed us. They have been unfaithful to us. They have overlooked us. They have treated us unfairly. They have victimized us. They have bullied us. They have hurt us. We have been devalued by them. We have been unappreciated by them. And the more we are pierced in our heart, the easier it is for us to live in cynicism and pessimism and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And the longer we live in bitterness, the harder it is to get rid of that festering heart. Pretty soon we need some really deep spiritual cleansing of the infection that is going on within our souls because of bitterness. Soon, even with Christians, we're not experiencing joy. Joy to the full that Scripture says we are supposed to have. We're not able to exist in a perpetual state of pleasing God because we are so depressed and we are critical and we are always angry, and it springs from bitterness. Scripture is filled with reminders about what happens with bitterness. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, oh, I was going to just show you some of the evidences of bitterness earlier. But in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, the wise King Solomon says, "Each heart knows its bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy." We know when we are bitter. In fact, we even choose it. We have an opportunity to maybe not choose it, but, you know, we go to church with a smile on our face. But deep down inside of our heart, there's bitterness because somebody in that church has hurt me and has wounded me. And I'm going to hang on to that bitterness, and I'm going to hang on to that anger and that unforgiveness. Oh, I'm going to go because that's what you do. I'm going to put on that brave face, and I'm going to put on that smile. I may even walk by that person whom I'm harboring bitterness against, and I might even shake their hand. Boy, aren't I special. Except that my heart is still full of bitterness, and I choose it. As wise King Solomon said, each heart knows its bitterness. It's a chain, actually, that drains us of our spiritual strength. It hardens our heart. We know it's there, but oftentimes we just choose to live in it. And it hinders our journey of faith. Well, there was another time where bitterness was hindering the journey. Do you remember the Israelites? In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18, God is talking to the Israelites, and he's warning them about the dangers of bitterness. He renews his covenant with them, and then he says, make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from God, from the Lord our God, to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such a bitter poison. Why do you suppose God said that? Well, because bitterness is really easy to... It's easy to go. It's easy to go there. You see, there were all kinds of opportunities for the Israelites to be bitter. Do you remember all of the bitterness that they experienced? Moses, why are you bringing us out in the desert? Why does God hate us? He has abandoned us. He has wounded. He has pierced our hearts. We would have been better off in Egypt. At least we would have had food and water. Time after time after time, the Israelites struggled with bitterness against God, bitterness against Moses. When Moses went up the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments and the laws of God, it didn't take them long, and the Israelites were down at the foot of the mountain, and they were building their own God. And so our God says, make sure that nobody, no clan, no tribe, no male, no female, nobody else turns away from God and builds a different God or worships the gods of the other nations, because that's just another sign of the bitterness that has grown within you. It's a poison. In the New Testament, Jesus' brother James also has something to say about this. In James chapter 3, verse 14, he says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Why? Well, because if you are denying it, that means that you are trying to hide it from everybody. So go ahead and own it. You see, bitterness is destructive and it hinders us from the truth. It affects all of those who are trying to walk this journey of faith, and it hinders our faithful journey. Paul basically says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And this is just a part of a list that he says, because when you look at Scripture, you see that in bitterness, Absalom tried to kill his father, King David. In bitterness, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. In bitterness, the Pharisees in the New Testament sought to kill Jesus. The bitterness that was in their heart led them to do things that they wouldn't probably normally have done. But Satan had convinced them that they needed to have some revenge over all of the piercings that they felt that they had been enduring in their heart. You see, we can't keep bitterness buried forever. The Bible calls bitterness a root. But I think this quote is interesting. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You see, it is a deadly root. And eventually, that root is going to spring forth and people will know what you are trying to hide beneath the surface. It may take a while, but at some point that root is going to spring up and it will bear fruit, and the fruit is not going to be good. It will be poisonous. Fortunately, for Simon the sorcerer and for us, there is hope, and that's the good thing. That's the beautiful thing about Scripture, is it doesn't just talk about the negative thing. It also shares with us the hope. If you take an honest inventory of your life, as Simon the sorcerer did when Peter said, you're harboring bitterness in your heart, then maybe we will discover a cure. And in our text for today, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, we find some of that hope. Verse 14 tells us about what our part is. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see, we have to do our part if we're going to get rid of the bitterness. And that part is we need to make every effort. Every is one of those all-inclusive, expansive words. It doesn't say make some effort, make an attempt at it. You know, just try a little bit. It says make every effort to live in peace. For some people, they say, well, I went to church, you know, a while ago. Didn't work. Make every effort to live in peace. Now, granted, there are some people, if you're trying to live in peace with another person who doesn't want to have anything to do with you, that makes it very difficult. But you don't give up. Make every effort to live in peace. We cannot control some circumstances or experiences that will have a negative effect on us, but we can control how we react to those circumstances. I can't control how other people are going to treat me, but I can control how I treat the other people. I can't always control the wounds that they give to me, the piercings in my heart. I can't control some of those circumstances in my life, but I can control how I try to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Do you know what the word holy means? It means you are set apart. It means you are different. You are not like the rest of the world. You are not seeking revenge. You are not hanging on to unforgiveness. But you are letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct you so that you can be holy. Holiness, I'll tell you right now, that's not natural. Okay? Being holy is not natural. It is supernatural. It is divine. It comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It is not something that necessarily we can even learn or work at without some spiritual, divine, supernatural power. That's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. So the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to these Hebrew Christians, he says, make every effort to live at peace with everyone, and that's part of the antidote to bitterness. The holiness of God, living that out. But then he also goes on to say, you're not the only one that's got a role here. God does too. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You have a role in getting rid of the bitterness. God has a role in helping you get rid of your bitterness. And it happens because of God's grace. We don't deserve forgiveness, except God graciously gives it to us. And He doesn't want us to miss that grace. Don't miss it. To be free of bitterness, we truly need the inward working of the grace of God, not just to save us, but to influence our lives so that we can bring Him the glory that His name so richly deserves. We can honor Him. And so I'm trying to imagine Simon the sorcerer hearing those words from Peter. Your money perish with you. You still don't get it. Your heart is full of bitterness and sin. Oh, you claim to be a believer. You've even been baptized. But you've never given your life to Christ because you are harboring bitterness. But there is hope, Simon. There is always hope. If you do your part to try to live at peace with everyone, and God will do His part to show you His grace so that you can live in His grace and in His love. And Simon realized the truth and said, pray for me. Because prayer is really what it's all about. So he turned to God in prayer. And I imagine he turned to the apostles in accountability so that they would hold him true to getting rid of this root of bitterness, because it's there. And it has to be dug out by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a power you can buy, but it is a power that we all need to have if we're going to eliminate bitterness. So my friends, I urge you. We all have that same invitation that the Apostle Paul, Peter and John gave to Simon the sorcerer. Do some investigation. Do you have bitterness in your heart? Do you have that sin that's weighing you down? Eliminate it. Because your journey of faith depends on it.